Well, welcome to Dad Pod. I'm Nick Adams. I guess you could call me maybe the creator, the producer of this. And across from me here, across from my drum set here, because we're also kind of in my little recording studio in the back of my house. Not a whole lot of room in here, but across from me is my cousin turned brother, pretty much over here, Hunter Brassfield. You know, we're going to go over pretty much why I think, this is going to be a good show for us, especially to have you as a mainstay, because we're both dads. We both grew up in the same area, Pell City, Riverside area.
Right.
And we're both girl dads, too, so it's a pretty good. But two different perspectives. And you got two girls, and I've only got one. Whereas, growing up, I had siblings after siblings. There's like, six of us, counting, I think, two-step. There's six of us. And, what about you? You have any brothers?
Well, I got the one, man. I got Seth.
Seth, too.
Looking at us, you wouldn't know no different, He's a brother. He's my brother, clearly, but still, different moms, whatever else, but looking at us, you couldn't tell the difference. Me and him both are bigger than our father, look almost identical to our father, but still.
Yeah, I know. There's like six of us, but I've only got one brother that, is actually, I guess if you want to call full blood.
Right.
But, I thank God for all the siblings and all the close relatives, including you. But like I said, I'm considering you a brother as well. But, I thank God for all the people involved in my life growing up, too, that were there when I was going through the rough times, not really, having the time or wanting to even talk to my, parents about things that were going on or whatever, was always able to, come to you for that kind of stuff, which is why I think it's going to be good, too, because both of us can relate to a lot of the stories that we'll have, is because, one, we were either there when it happened, or, two, you told me about it when you got home, or I told you about it when I got home, something like that. So, I guess, starting off, man, we grew up pretty rough in a good and a bad way, in a sense. While we had the video games and stuff, too, we played outside a lot, too. Can I go into our raising with that, man? I can't tell you how many times I was drug across the ground, either from an idea that you had or from you dragging me across it, or if it was you physically.
Let's talk about it for a second.
Don't cut me off.
Don't say that it was an idea I had.
God, tell me
I'm
wrong.
Nine times out of ten, if it came up with anything that ended with you, David, or somebody else getting injured, it was some stupid idea that y'all came up with, and I told you in great detail why it was going to be a bad idea and what it'll always get.
No, it'll be fine. Let's go.
I don't know, man. I just don't see it the way
I'm
think
saying,
you say.
All
saying
I'm
it
saying,
like a grown adult now.
All
that's
I'm saying is the whole little bicycle game that y'all came up with, blindfolding the kid on a freaking 10-speed bicycle and throwing broomsticks or tires or whatever y'all could get your hands on, was not me. I remember the day I pulled up on that. I'm driving past, look over, y'all are throwing stuff at a kid on a bicycle, cannot see. What are y'all doing? Well, we came up with this game. Somebody gets on it blindfolded, and we throw stuff at them to see if we can make it.
It's called Gauntlet.
That was not me.
That's not the only. That's
no, but hands down one of the dumbest ideas y'all have ever come up with.
Yeah, but notice he throws that one out there, because it's like the one instance he can remember where he was like, nope, didn't have anything to do with that one. I'm like, okay, that one
time.
Well,
let's see. That one time. Keep going. If you want more. Y'all come up, what'd you say? It was the gauntlet?
It's called the gauntlet. That's the one you were just talking about, so that's one.
Okay. The times that y'all were skateboarding or riding the scooter off of your concrete porch trying to jump the stairs and land on the concrete pathway.
How certain we are you didn't have anything to do with that.
I didn't tell you to do it. The night that David took the skin off.
Did you tell us not to do it?
Yes.
No, I don't believe it. If
the
you were
day
there.
That David took the skin off his knees almost to his feet because he kept doing it, I remember sitting on the porch going, you know this is going to end bad. You're fragile. Your bones break easy, and you're doing something stupid. Don't do it. Oh, I'm fine. He took off, did it, lands, and takes the hide off his knees while doing it in shorts, mind you.
I see this differently. I don't know, man. I can think of a few times for sure that I wasn't the one that had the idea.
I'm not
but
saying,
I definitely
I'm not
didn't
saying,
shoot it down.
I'm not saying I wasn't the one that came up with some of the stupid ideas that led to injuries or bodily harm. But not all of them were me.
Yeah, that man, there was a lot of times I can remember getting just knocked unconscious, having road rash. Man, I remember it was so bad, actually, and I didn't know this until years later when my mom told me, but we had enough medical bills and enough times that I was taken to the hospital that DHR got called. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that. I was like, are you serious? You know,
Trust me, I've done been through that fear of my life.
But if I'm not mistaken, they, you know, like there was some, you know, there was some instance or whatever. It ended up being an incident with football. But, you know, they were like, see, told you, you know.
Well, you also got to take into account that you snapped your leg in the woods one time playing tag. You know how, I just got to imagine with the.
It wasn't normal tag, man. We never played normal tag.
And this
tag.
Is what I'm saying. This is what I got to imagine. And mind you, I was not part of this, so you cannot put me in this one.
Once again, number two of things that
this
he was not involved
three,
with,
thank
but he
you,
was
sir.
There.
Number three. What was thank it? You.
Okay, okay. Three.
Because I remember this day this happened. You snapped your leg. It was my senior year. I had nothing, no recollection of whatever y'all were doing. I'm laying on the couch watching TV at roughly 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hear somebody run up on my porch and knock on my door. Walk to the door, and Jonathan's standing there and goes, hey, your cousin just snapped his shin. Okay, how, and is he still wherever he was that he got hurt? No, Sean picked him up and took him down there. They're headed to the hospital. What happened?
Mind you, Sean's about 140 pounds, and I was double that.
We were playing military tag in the woods, and he stepped in a stump hole and snapped his leg. Yeah. I knew about that after the fact, so it was not Hunter's fault.
I hear that sound. I can hear the sound of my shin reverberating in my head as we're talking about it.
You're one of only two people I know that's only been injured that way. And one time I was playing paintball with a bunch of folks, and he stepped in a stump hole and snapped his leg, too.
It was – I can't tell you how many times I've – that – it's not the visual that ever got me, really. I mean, it really got me with the car wreck, the visual seeing my leg the way it was,
right.
was which will be another, you know, probably another spiel on the episode if we don't end up talking about it tonight. But visually seeing the, like, gore wasn't right. necessarily – it didn't harm me you know, and I like to think it's – I don't know if it was, you know, my dad raising me to just be tough or, you know, given by the grace of God that it just didn't, you know, scar me. But, you know, it was something I had to – you know, just growing up, I mean, I just grew up in a way that I was around that. And I think he kind of protected it from harming me as bad as maybe it would have others, you know, that, you know, weren't graced with being around – the people and the influences that I was in a negative but also in a positive way though, you know, there were different times, you know, like, you know, we didn't try to necessarily do the right things growing up, but our parents did.
Right.
They were on the end trying to keep us around doing the right things, but growing up rough and whatnot, it just, you know, I think it really helped craft us into being the way we are now, where it's I mean, we're just adamant about things because we saw the We see the differences. We see where, you know, you should, like, you know, you shouldn't do things, not because it's just the right thing to do, but, man, God said it should be that way, and we, you know, it really, we're eating, I feel like I'm eating a lot of my mom's words right now, not necessarily
absolutely.
My dad's, but my mom is, like, face-feeding me words she gave, raised, and I'm so glad she's doing it, too. I love it. And she doesn't necessarily call me out like that because she sees me, like, coming back around, it's my action. She's seeing, like, yeah,
you're paying
yeah.
for your raisin.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing my dad likes to throw at me.
But she 100%, like, takes responsibility for, you know, her actions with it, though, too. But I also like to think, man, like, you know, it's nobody's a saint, but except my mama. Just kidding. No, but that's the way I feel about it, you know. But I didn't see it that way necessarily growing up. But she definitely... you know, had to put up with a lot on top of me being the way I was too. But, you know, at first, and as young as I was, I didn't see it as well. But towards the end of it, now when she's like with my, you know, stepdad term, who I like to call new dad now, whatever. But Scott was, you know, her faith in God was what got her through that stuff growing up that we were putting up with. But, you know, my escape was getting out there, playing outside, playing rough, doing those things. Like, the adrenaline rush for me to get outside with you guys to play football and whatnot was a way for me to get away from what kind of what was going on inside. But it didn't show like that because, you know, like, who my mom wanted me to be and who my dad wanted me to be were both intended to be good people, but with two different ways of teaching right. it. Like, my mom didn't force feed me or, you know, like my dad, I remember a time my dad made me sit still for like an hour and a half because I wouldn't try green beans kind of thing, you know, and like that kind of thing, obviously, like that's a small thing. It didn't scar me or something, but that's something I remembered right. for my entire life because I was like, dude, this is over green beans and everybody else is outside getting to play and whatnot. Like, this is nuts. You know, I'm just right. like, this is the kind of over exaggerating thing you're doing or whatever. But it was a small concept of things that I didn't realize now that, like, you know, one thing that's my favorite thing to eat now, green beans.
I hate it.
I love green beans. I love them. And it's not because I didn't want to eat them then. It's just because he was wanting to. He because of the way he was trying to make me do it was why I did. I was like, no,
I get it.
I'm not gonna eat them now just because you want me to.
Be spiteful about
you know. So now I'm gonna. You know what? I'll fast right now to prove that I'm not gonna do what you want me to do.
That's fair.
And that's a terrible way of doing things, though.
I like. I can't believe.
Right. You
wrong,
know.
You're
but
right.
looking back on that now, that's such a huge moment over green beans.
Right. I mean, I completely get it.
It's like, you know, we like to talk about, like, what's funny is I think some people talk about the whole hold the flashlight here while I'm working right. thing. Really didn't go through, I think, the extensive thing it really was. I got hit with that flashlight. You know,
I never got hit with a flashlight, but
it's like he might have told you the same thing, but he hit me with the object I wasn't holding right.
If you want to talk about something coming full circle, that stupid flashlight broke my finger last year.
You know, I had my car fixed today. Like, man, once again, God sent me and placed me around the right people. He's, you know, he's a God-fearing man as well. Quincy, man, he took care of my car for me and
there
stuff. But, like, the first flashlight he pulled up, it's one that, like, it's extendable, but it latches on to the bottom side of your hood.
Right.
So when you stand it up, you clip it on the bottom, and it's a whole light bar across the bottom of the hood. All the way across it. And I told him, I said, man, you know how many times that would have saved arguments with me and my dad if I'd had that flashlight? You can't hold that one wrong.
No.
It lights the whole place up. But, you know, growing up, you know, rough like that, I think just kind of helped show me ways that, you know, I got the point, but there's a way to get the point across without where it's like
right.
making the kid resent you. And that's what I'm working on now is like trying to get Sophie to see the right things. And that means, for one, you know, being a God-fearing man, you're going to do the right things. They're going to see you do it, not listen to you
right.
do it, you know, or listen to you tell them how to do it. You know, if you're doing the right things, if you're telling them to do the right things and you're doing the wrong things, like, which way you think they're going to listen?
That's
unless
true.
Unless they are really taking it upon themselves to not listen, you know, to do the right thing, they're probably going to do the things you're doing, not what you're telling them not to do. Like, my dad would smoke a cigarette and be like, don't smoke a cigarette. And I'm like, I literally smell like Marlboros when I go to school. Like, I don't even smoke and people think I smoke and you're trying to
right.
tell me not to smoke. Like, this don't make sense. Either you need to quit smoking or I'm fixing to start.
Speaking of the flashlight thing, man, I don't know. It's just my mentality of the whole thing is, you know, we alluded to it earlier that, you know, me and you both are girl dads.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 100% behind the fact that my kids need to know how to do certain things. But I don't think they should have to do certain things, if you catch what I'm trying to say here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, last year, around this time, actually, we were at the house. Everybody was over at the house watching the Super Bowl, and my stove started acting up. It was cutting off, and everything else. So I said, man, so what in the world's going on? So I pulled the thing out, get to looking, and by a million wonders, my house never caught on fire. I don't know. But the connection had gone bad inside the outlet on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled a stove out, get a look, and the housing around the outlet has melted. Like, it had arced enough and gotten hot enough that it 100% should have started a fire, but thank God it did not. So you fast forward that a couple days. Okay, I got to go get a replacement for this thing. I pulled a stove out, disconnect everything, pop the housing off. And mind you, because of growing up working with electricity with my father, I've watched him get hit by 110 a couple different times. I've been hit by 110 a couple times. I don't like it.
I got tased.
I don't. Well, you know what
I'm
saying.
Did you ever get tased?
I've not been tased, but that's a different ballgame. Like,
oh,
that's something, you know, I get to carry this for my protection. I can get behind that. But if I'm trying to fix something in my house, I'm not getting electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, no, I understood. I'm just trying to, you know, relate to you on voltage.
I get you. So
I've been electrocuted by a Christmas tree.
It's because of the way that that's happening. I've been hit a couple different times by extension cords, unplugging Christmas lights, whatever else, and I've been lit up for it, and I don't like it. So now whenever I work on anything in the house, I just throw the main breaker. You sit over there in the dark, do whatever you got to do, play on your phone, because until I get done with this, there's no power.
Yeah, I guess who doesn't get electrocuted?
Exactly.
You.
So I take this piece off, and I get to looking at it. I start taking the outlet out of the floor, and I've got the big 4-cell Maglite big heavy joker. I've got it propped between my cheek and my shoulders and doing my work.
Mind you, that's probably the one, like, you know, both of our dads were
were
law enforcement. Yeah, so that's going to be the old ones that they used. It was not only their flashlight, but that was their baton, their window breaker, and another weapon.
Hammer, or whatever you may need.
Whatever they had to use it for, but it was also light up the area if you needed to. But honestly, the lights were kind of garbage on those things.
I mean, you got to think about the time, though.
Yeah, at the time that was like high quality.
Like we have now, you know, that was top of the line. You put your
was LED to what we, or that was like what we call halogens now back then.
Right.
It light up a little circle yellow, and we liked it.
So anyhow, I go to get up from my project and put my hand down, and I move my cheek, not thinking, and this big heavy joker slides off my shoulder, the edge of the lens lands on my knuckle,
broke knuckle.
So if my daughters can take anything away from that, because they were both watching me in this process, is how not to cuss whenever you break a bone. Because I just remember it hitting. It hurt. I knew immediately, well, that's broke. Only thing I could think to do is just sit back against the stove for a second, hold my finger, and just, that's all I can do.
And just
Remember vividly my oldest daughter sitting there going, Daddy, are you okay? Daddy, are you okay? I was like, no.
No.
It's like, my finger's broke. Go away. Just leave me alone for a second. I need to process this. And I don't get that moment. I get, Mama!
Dad's being mean
to
me.
Daddy's hurt! Daddy's hurt!
Oh, no. I would have got like, Dad's being mean to me.
No.
Like, what? No, it's not that. Like, I'm trying not to be mean to you because I'm hurt.
Peyton, who's on the other side of the house, is putting away laundry. It comes spraying, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I was like, I broke my finger because of this stupid flashlight. Just leave me alone for a second. Let me process.
Give me a few seconds to
just
refresh.
Just let me be mad because I'm mad at myself right now. Just go away.
I hit a refresh button. It's going to take me a few minutes, but I'll be okay.
I don't know about a refresh button because my finger hurt for like 3 weeks after the fact.
Yeah, man, I did construction. I did a lot of stuff growing up, working with my dad, working on cars, playing football, taking all those shots, all that kind of stuff. Man, it got to the point where it's like I was picking what bones didn't hurt to break. You know, I was like, nah. You know, like people would say at school, like, man, I broke my wrist today. I'm like, that's rookie. I'm in a 3-point stance with a broke wrist right now playing football.
I watched a kid slide off a slide and break his arm, get on our level, which also I was not a part of.
Okay, there's four. Right. You know, I'm going to have to get on paper and keep up with this start going episodes.
I do remember that one pretty vividly, too, because, like, I'd come home, sat down, hanging out. You know, I think I was playing PlayStation, some crap, whatever. And there again, I hear somebody come up on the porch as I'm getting ready to walk outside. And I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, David's broke his arm again.
I've never seen some kids. Watched it happen.
I say again, because a lot of folks, I don't know if you're.
Love you, David, if you're listening to this.
You may have been there that day. I don't remember. You know, I broke the kid's arm the first time.
Not there when you broke his arm the first time.
I didn't need to. You know, he's a small kid playing backyard football with somebody significantly bigger than him. He come up to me. I just grabbed him and stiff-armed him. That's all I did. I tossed him.
Put yourself in David's dad's position.
I mean,
who's just letting his dad play with neighborhood kids. And this is one.
And consistently, over the years, like, hey, David's hurt again.
There were like 3 or 4 times where we had to, like, escort David to his house because we hurt him.
One of the worst head injuries I ever seen wasn't David. I will say that.
Whose was that?
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay, but
I tossed the kid. He falls. He snaps his arm. I remember him looking up at my dad, who was outside at the time, was like, Mr. Clay, I think something's wrong. And there's a significant drop in his arm. Dad was like, yeah, that's broke.
Yeah, I've never seen somebody's arm bend the way that David's has twice.
Back to my original point here is I walk outside, I run in, I think it was Jonathan. No, it was Paul, actually, because he come walking over to me wanting to know what happened. He said, David broke his arm. You know anything about what happened? I was like, dude, I ain't been with it. He said, they were over at Sean's doing something, and somehow or another he broke his arm. Said they were playing on the swing set somehow, and he snapped his arm again. I was like, oh, really? So let's walk back there and look.
Yeah, we were playing like normal kids.
Well, the first thing I see is I walk up, is his hat is laying next to that slide on that stupid 2-story swing set. And I'm like,
it wasn't stupid. We like that slide.
But my first thought was when I found his hat sitting where I found it sitting, I was like, well, that's peculiar.
That means he fell off the slide.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah. But let's get into the fact that just because he fell off does not mean that, oh, the kid just happened to fall off. Who falls off a slide like that when they're sitting on their butt? You know what I'm saying?
David's clumsy self.
Well, let's talk about what actually happened. Let's talk about what happened for a second. Let's get to that. You know, you can try to defend this all you want to.
I'm not defending it.
Good, because you can't. The first thing I noticed is as we get to looking closer, me and Paul are standing there looking around, as I see skid marks going off of one side of the slide.
Yeah.
And you obviously see where the hat was, where David landed. He went off before the halfway point of said slide, and hit.
It happens.
And I looked at Paul and said, by chance, did any of the kids have a skateboard or something in their hand, whatever they ever had at home? He's like, yeah, Jonathan did.
We were feeling Tony Hawkish.
So, you know, y'all were out there trying to skate down a daggum slide that led to somebody snapping their arm.
No, not us, David.
It doesn't matter. I know 100% in my mind, I bet you can't. Or, David, hey, I bet you won't.
No, David was feeling confident in his skills that day.
But who was agging it on?
I mean, agging it on and telling him that we think he can do it too.
That's exactly the same
thing. No, I was like, hey, man, you know what? On second thought, David, you probably could do it, you know.
Building his confidence at that point in time.
It was character building.
Knowing good and well in your head this kid's about to screw up in some way, shape, or form.
No,
would tell him he can because I think he'll do it either way. No. That's what the mindset was. You will not convince me otherwise.
I don't think it. I mean, yeah, we knew he was going to do it. Here's the thing. Okay, maybe at the time we were kind of aiming towards like, there's a probability, like a larger probability you won't complete this stunt. But the small chance that you will, it's going to be really funny to either watch it happen or watch you get hurt.
And then y'all watch a kid snap his arm.
In like 2 or 3.
You watched your first traumatic injury happen in front of your eyes.
In like 2 or 3 different places. His arm bent like that microphone.
I can't imagine why.
And it was
a 130-pound kid comes off a 2-story slide on a skateboard. How do you think it was going
to
play out?
Who doesn't know you don't try to catch yourself like that?
What else was he supposed to do?
I mean, he tried to stiff arm the ground while he was going towards it. It was a bad idea. And he was kind of going over his shoulder. So when it snapped inwards toward his body, that was when I freaked out.
Well, yeah.
Because like almost instantaneously, I felt it for him. I heard it.
Sure.
I heard 2 breaks the whole 9. It was the craziest thing ever. But by the time we got around the corner with him, he was already on his front porch. It's the fastest I've ever seen him move. But then the only thing, almost immediately we quit worrying about if David was hurt, and we were like, we're in so much trouble. We're like, so we both went home immediately, and I was like, hey, David just got like really
got
hurt.
Wrecked
really, really bad. Like that skateboard won. I don't even know if the skateboard won. It was that slide that won, or the ground,
yeah,
one of the two. Or you know, his failure to drink milk won, one of the two.
Calcium deficiency.
But we went straight home and was like, don't remember that. We told our parents about it, then tried to forget about it until people started knocking on the doors, you know, and they're like, what happened to David? And almost instantaneously, of course, you know, we're like, I don't know. But now I was like, oh, yeah, no, he fell off that slide. He just tried to ride a skateboard down it. I mean, what was that? It's not like it'd been different if like, okay, yeah, he had drugs and a needle. And I was like, yeah, you know what, David, I think you can handle that much. It's like, at least I didn't talk him into something like that. At least we were kids outside trying to satisfy our parents because they didn't want us inside. So we're like, okay, deal. We're going to go outside and break something, whether it's something or ourselves. Y'all are going to have to pay for it because you don't want to let us sit inside and play games. I'm so thankful they didn't make us. Or they did make us go outside.
Right.
You know, I'm very thankful. It was so much because we have stories like that, the two.
But as a parent looking back over it, you're sitting there going,
oh, I feel.
You're like, man, they used to make us go outside and do this. And
I want to hug David's dad so bad.
Dude, it's like the most patient guy I've ever met.
Yeah, and I feel bad for my mom, too, because I feel like we caused so many of her aneurysms. So did my dad and my little brother. And what I just, like, I think back all the time. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Let's talk about your little brother for a second. The time he got jacked up on a trampoline by himself.
How do you even break your elbow?
Hurts his elbow.
Which I broke my elbow too, don't get me wrong.
Here's my point. I just remember him using that as a crutch forever.
I've never heard somebody say it the way he says it. That's the thing, is the way he says it.
Whatever else.
My scar hurts.
My scar's hurting. My scar's hurting. Don't hit me.
It's not your scar. Like, it's your elbow that hurts. The scar doesn't hurt.
It's the joints that are killing you. Just shut up and power through it. You're 8. I don't want to hear it.
But he did, man. Like, and I broke
but
my elbow
again,
too.
But another injury that I was not present for. So
okay,
that would
five.
Be 5.
There we go. Let's make sure we make those presently known in these videos, so I can keep up with it from now on. I'm gonna try to make sure I keep 5 written down somewhere, unless we get to 6 right here. But man, yeah, I can't tell you how many different times. Yeah, I snapped I watched David break his arm twice like that. But I remember, I guess let's go back to the gauntlet, man. Like just. How stupidly we played as kids because, like, we were bored, but, like, it's not also, like, the boredom only lasted for, like, 30 seconds, but as kids that felt like an hour.
Right.
And as soon, like, the first thing that would hit our head was, like, okay, we always ride bikes. What can we do different? Blindfold. Sweet. So we tried that first, and I was like, okay, that's pretty easy, because all we did at that point, this is how the gauntlet started. We tried to just say, like, we would try to direct them through the yard correctly. Right. First was the initial game was to try to be the eyes for David.
So basically doing like a blind obstacle course.
And no, well, at first it wasn't even that. It was like, let's just see if we can get him through the yard first without wrecking.
That's
we
did that a couple times. Somebody threw it off.
Right, blindfold. I was like, okay, this is fun. That's fun. Okay. Secondly, it was like, okay, David, we're going to try to lead you into something, and you try to not run into it, you know.
Right.
So it went, you know, that went really fun a couple times, because we got to the point we would like kind of catch him, right? When he would hear us tell him.
Yeah, by the time I drove by, that was all abandoned.
Yeah, well, it was funny. He would like, we would tell him to go left, and he would start trying to go right some. And I'm like, okay, he's trying to avoid it. So we would get dyslexic with it and tell him to go right. He'd start going left. And we ran him in the ditch, ran him into a pole, the car, the house. It was so great. But he started beating us at his game. He started, like, you know, looking under the blindfold, blah, blah, blah. So we were like, all right, how about you just put the blindfold on and pedal as fast as you can through the yard without getting hit by something? And mind you, we're going to bring David on one day and talk about all this again and let you get David's perspective. But he come through the yard as fast as he could, right? And we would try to use something to make him crash out while he was blindfolded. So he already knew the line he had to drive. He just couldn't see what was coming at him. So the first couple instances, yeah, it was light until we started throwing tires and stuff
at
him.
That's what I was saying.
That was about the time you
pulled up. By the time I drive by, I look at one
bodily damage, yeah.
And y'all have done picked up a Goodyear Eagle off of a NASCAR.
Speaking of NASCAR Daytonas this weekend, and we grew up around that.
And you're throwing it at this kid on a friggin' bicycle.
Yeah, well, you know, to mind you, who's the one that made him want to stop playing the game?
I mean, I'm not dismissing
the fact that, no, hold on. No, I think this should take away number five.
Absolutely.
Because you're the one that slung the tire that made him say.
But I didn't come up with this stupidity that y'all called a game.
I've never heard a kid be almost concussed. Like, well, he was practically unconscious and was speaking, like, the words coming out of his mouth before, like, it's almost like.
Okay, so here's my point with the whole, you know, we're up to five right now.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with the game.
You were not a part of the game, but he joined.
I remember looking and going,
he bought an admission ticket.
What are y'all doing? We came up with this idea. We're calling it the gauntlet. We're going to throw stuff at somebody while they're on a bicycle.
So you thought it was a bad idea, but you wanted to play.
But mind you, y'all say why we throw it at somebody. Nobody else ever got on the bike except for David.
I do remember, if I'm not mistaken, and I know I have a rough memory because I've been hitting the head a couple times, but I'm almost certain that Johnny or Justin, one of the Jays, did it too. But they didn't do it as long as David did. David did it like five times because he was like, I'm tougher than y'all.
I just remember the standing rule becoming whenever I showed up and I grabbed that tire and I yeeted that thing. Well, I hit him instead of the bike. I will admit that.
Yeah, and when dude, it was so funny because he was practically unconscious already saying, I don't want to play no more.
I just remember the rule became for whatever Hunter was involved that if you're throwing the tire, you can only throw it at the front tire of the bicycle.
To be honest, we only wanted to let Hunter be either one, the quarterback, or two, the video guy, because it was like we didn't want to play. Because dude, I remember, you know what's so funny though too is like Chase Causey, shout out. Every time I talk to him, it's funny. We always end up talking about, you know, playing football in my front yard, and he's always like, man, Hunter, though, it's always just like, it's painful just playing with you. He would always say, like, I always ended up having to get a new shirt after playing there, too, because, like.
What's that other boy's name? He played a couple times with us.
We had a lot, man.
I'm trying to think, because y'all called me out on Facebook for it last year. Mason.
Mason Cole, yeah. Oh man, he's actually really, really good. I still talk to Mason. A shout out once again, but I've talked to Mason a lot now.
Y'all called me out on Facebook last year talking about backyard football and everything. Y'all were having a pretty good conversation.
Yeah.
And I remember y'all were like, "Hey, we should play again. We should get it together for old time's sake."
And he probably said something like, "I'll play unless Hunter is."
He was like, "Don't invite Hunter and tag me." And he's like, "Don't invite Hunter because it's not fun with him."
Yeah, no, because like, but that's also though, like, mind you, you know. Like, we all should have been
D1
athletes, man. We should have videos out
there.
If
playing backyard football, we'd be in the league.
Like,
right now,
no joke, if our coaches at football at the time had showed up
right
then and watched us play, they would have been like, why don't y'all do this at practice? Like, because for one, you don't let us.
Right. You told me I had to be a lineman coach because I'm fat.
That's what I said. It's like, two, you don't let us we can't be wide receivers because we're fat. And what was funny is, you know, when I finally lost weight and got to play a different position.
Right.
And, I, you know, at the time, I didn't think about it like this. But when I finally got to play a different position, I was like, oh, thank man, I'm so thankful I get to play something. Right. It was tight end, which is, I was still a freaking lineman, but I was eligible to catch the ball.
You can go downfield.
I was like, oh, deal. But I wasn't mad at that either. And then the first time I get the, you know, live action play, one time I actually got to, like, try to prove, like, man, no, I can actually do this. And, like, I proved it several times. But,
you know,
I caught that ball, and I was – my head landed on the goal line because I have goofy feet. There was nobody around me.
Man.
Nobody around me. I watched the crowd go, oh! Like, dude. And, like, that's how – that's why I feel like I never had stage fright for boxing and stuff, though, too. It's because, like, man, I've been embarrassed. You can't embarrass me no worse than that because I already know I probably am going to do it. But I'm probably going to do something spectacular, too. Right before I fall, at least.
That's fair.
Like snapping that dude's mouthpiece out of his mouth. I might have failed after that, but man, I guarantee you he was like, what happened?
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you said something about Chase whenever he used to play ball with us. Say, you know, it hurt playing against me, or he always had to get a new shirt, whatever. I mean, we played aggressively, I will give you that. But I do remember one day, whenever y'all came up with the idea that, hey, go around school the entire day and ask people, hey, do y'all want to come to my house today and play football?
Oh, yeah, we had about – I mean, we had enough to do 11 on 11.
That's what I'm saying. I remember that day.
If it wasn't that, it was like 8 on 8.
And I remember Chase being there because he kept playing the opposite side of the field where I was lining up that day.
Mm.
And I couldn't get to him. He kept scoring, kept making plays, whatever else.
He's smart, using his feet. He's like, if I can get away from him, I'm okay, I think.
I just remember the one time he did get the ball, he crossed across the field. I took off. I got with him. I shot of him. You know, I was right there with him.
Mm.
I remember him catching the ball, and I turned and went to make the hit, and he just crumbled.
Yeah.
He hit the ground. It was like, no, bro, you're not doing it.
You know how many times I did the same thing?
I did the same thing. Y'all used to make me so mad with that.
Why are you mad at us for not letting you hit us?
I could work my tail off to get downfield at full stride. Y'all always started out, we're going to play a two-hand touch, and then y'all make a couple plays, and, hey, we're going to play tackle.
Yeah, because, like, two-hand touch gets boring real fast, and then when you start hitting people again, we're like, damn it, let's do two-hand touch again. You know, excuse my French. You know, really trying – that's probably the – and, you know, just to go ahead and break off on that note, that is, like, one of the one things I have the hardest trouble with as a believer in God is to talk, you know, without cursing. That's a huge problem I have. But yeah, man – we didn't ever want to we wanted to play full contact. That's the difference.
But what,
like,
I don't understand
until you play.
That's what I don't get. You're like, hey, we got a bunch of folks down here at the house, we're gonna play football.
Mm.
And then you'd shoot me a text with, hey, come on down.
Hoping you'd be on my team or something.
And y'all were the ones that picked the team.
I didn't get to be team captain.
I didn't.
It was
either.
My freaking
house.
It
was never me.
But, you know, that's the point of me being a good guy, because even though it was my house, my rules, my everything kind of thing, I still let, like, the visitors be the team captains.
Right.
And I'm like, that didn't make sense to me at the time. But
now
that I'm thinking back.
Well, y'all always pick the team, but if I ended up on the opposite side of the field of you, y'all want to get mad about it. This ain't my fault.
I'm either going to let you get.
I'm playing ball. And y'all want to play tackle, I'm going to hit you.
If I can't swat the ball down before you catch it, whatever, you win. It was like, because, like, every time, I remember several times I try to, even, and, like, mind you, I'm like, this was times I was probably 220, 230 pounds maybe. And I would grab on, and we were probably about the same weight, but we were both different structures.
Right.
And, like, I would grab on, and he just dragged me down the field. And I'm like, see, like, this is why I don't try. This is why I don't try. And this is why we play on either the same team or I don't even want to play. And, like, I really didn't act like that. But it's so funny because, like,
oh, you can see it.
You give it – well, we give it our all. You know, that's the thing, was, like, what I'm glad my raisin's for, is because, like, I gave it – you give it your all every time, but you're just, like, the whole time you're like, man – dang, lost that
like,
one.
Man's built like a tank.
Yeah, it is. And then you get, you know, and you're like, you know what? One of two things. I'm either just going to try something different with them next, or I'm lining up over here. I'm going on the other side.
But no, whatever. You know, talking about the injuries, you know, looking back at it, other than David ever snapping his arm that one time me and him played, there was really no other real significant injuries except for that one day Brandon broke Lauren's ankle. But, hey, you know, whatever.
That's a whole nother – see, look, there you go. A whole nother angle to look at, too, is we even had late Amanda Bunt played.
But
Lauren Cosby played.
She broke her ankle, and guess who didn't cause it? Number six.
There's number six. But he also didn't talk Lauren out of playing football either.
It was their idea, and
I'm not going to let you get clean first, away with the number.
No, at first, y'all were like, no, we don't need to do it. I was like, no, y'all right, because she's 105 pounds compared to everybody out here is 200 pounds.
That's giving her
and
credit.
And built like freaking athletes.
That's giving Lauren credit.
Every one of us had the capability to hurt somebody, and you're like, no, she wants to play, let her play. She wants to come here with the boys, we're going to treat her like the
boys. That's because
in the first play we go to tackle, she gets tackled, broke her daggum ankle. And it wouldn't be.
Well, mind you, the girl we had before that was Amanda, who had a six-pack and everything, and who actually laid me out a time or two. And I was like, yeah, man, you know what? If girls want to play, girls can play. Because honestly, I was getting tired of getting hit, so I was trying to hit Amanda.
But my point being here, another injury.
I know, whatever.
Hunter was not involved in. But I will give you one that I was involved in. How about that? You want one?
Hey, please.
So, little Johnny, I know it sounds like I'm setting up a joke, but no, Jonathan Trussell, hadn't been long moved in the neighborhood. You know, he was always a smaller kid than the rest of us, whatever. We were over at David's house on the trampoline jumping one day. I think you may or may not have been there. I don't remember. I know it was me and David for 100%. But David or Jonathan was in the middle of the trampoline. And somehow or another, dude got double bounced.
Like he lost. God. Oh, man. That's not good for Johnny.
I swear he was 8 foot off the mat.
I don't doubt it. Probably more than that.
And the way that he went up, he tracked. He didn't come back down where he started from. He tracked.
Yeah, wind moves golf balls.
And I stopped, and I remember looking, going, this is about to be bad. And the very next thing it happened is the back of his head smacking that pole and just making that significant just
boom.
Yep. Uh-oh.
Man.
Dude had 100% had an instant concussion. He's laying there dazed, don't know what's going on. David just deuced out on me.
Yeah.
And Jonathan sitting there just, I was like, okay, this dude's got a problem. I remember picking him up and walking across the yard, and his mama, I guess, had saw me walking with him cradled in my arms across the ditch, and she comes out the door and says, what's wrong? What happened? Did you hurt him? I was like, I didn't. As a trampoline did.
Trampoline hurt him pretty
trampoline
bad.
Trampoline knocked the crap out of him. It just may or may not have been my fault. She's like, what do I need to do? I was like, don't let him go to sleep for about 6 or 7 hours, and you should be golden.
Dude, you know what's funny, though? I found out, you know, I learned later in life, though, after how many times I hit my head, that was kind of a fluke anyways.
What?
The whole don't go to sleep thing. Because, like, in there, what they kind of, I think
it
what they.
It depends on the severity.
It does, but I think what I may have it wrong, but I think what I gathered from it was that if it's significant enough anyways, even if you stayed up, you're going to die.
It's not.
Or you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, if it's that bad that somebody has to watch you overnight or something anyways, well, one of two things. You either should have stayed in the hospital or two, you know, like, I mean, it's going to get you anyways if it's your time to go.
I get that. But what it breaks down to is that you can have a certain class of concussion.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I've had them.
It can be pretty decent, but it can be not that bad. And what you run into, if it's like a mid-grade concussion, you run the risk at that point of, okay, if I stay awake, I'm good. You got a little swelling, there's some bruising going on, but if you stay awake past the time where your brain can finally settle down, you're good. But if you have the same concussion, you go, damn, I got this headache.
Like you're faint.
And I'm really
faint,
having a problem, you go lay down. Like it can cause you to go into a coma.
Yeah, because you might have a brain bleed.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could wake up from the coma. Mm. It could be an hour later.
Or it could be like click and be 2025.
Exactly. It could be years, which would months, only be weeks next down year. The road, whatever. Or you don't get up again and you died because you bounced your head a little too hard off of something stupid. Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's no telling. I'm almost certain I've had.
Oh, 100%.
Man, I've had.
If you've ever been knocked unconscious for whatever reason, you've had some form of a concussion.
Well, that car wreck had to count for at least three.
Oh, yeah.
That car wreck was three concussions in one.
You wrecked at 95 miles an hour. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I've
you
never.
Put it to you in perspective. You broke one of the strongest bones in your body in a car accident. How do you think that affected your head?
Yeah.
A brain that has nothing up there but liquid to support it.
I mean, I hemorrhaged it. I mean, I had a brain bleed, and that was one thing, you know, the doctors told me, which my thing is I've never believed anything. Well, I've taken what they've given. I take what the doctors give me in, you know, with a grain of salt, because if I let that define me, then, yeah, it is what you just said it is. You know, like, my leg is actually shorter than the other one.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be walking correctly anyways.
Right.
I remember them telling me that. I had a brain bleed. I remember them telling me I'm going to have problems later in life, which I do notice, like, sometimes I just have a problem keeping up, which could be, like, several different things.
I mean,
there's
a lot of different factors.
But I'm also...
It's the mechanism. Injury, it's the age, everything.
But when I think back on it, if I can remember some of the things that I do, man, is it my memory, or is it just that, like, man, you just can't remember everything? Like,
you can't remember everything.
No. But, you know, I don't think it's I don't think it's good for some of the shots that I've had. I really don't. But don't get me wrong. I feel like, though, too... You know, you are what you let yourself become. Right. You are what you eat. You are what you drink. You right. are what you let yourself become. But, and if you, you know, you put your faith in God and you start working on those things, you'll be okay.
I do promise. Think this is worth noting, though. You know, obviously, you had the car wreck, you and your wife and a few friends, and that being one of the first quote-unquote bad calls I've ever run in my career as a fireman.
I'm so thankful you were having somebody to show up.
I'm glad I was there and able to do it instead of, you know, getting a phone call from somebody hours after the fact, like, hey, Nick got screwed up. Hey, you know, it was bad. One of them had a back injury. One of them coded on the way to the hospital, stuff like that. I'm glad I didn't get that phone call after the fact instead of going, okay, well, what's wrong? Well, we don't really know. He's got this, and I didn't know what was going on. Being able to see you in the state that you were in, you know, albeit really screwed up and a lot of pain, but you were conscious.
Yeah.
That helped my psyche going into it. But this is worth noting, just a good story that I think folks would enjoy. So let's get to lay of the land here. Okay, so I've been in the fire service at this point in time, roughly 2 months. Mm-hmm. Sitting in the firehouse one day, we run a couple calls throughout the day. We're sitting in the day room watching TV. I was kind of dozing in and out. Tone goes off about 3 so in the afternoon. Got a motor vehicle accident versus a tree. Car's on fire. I thought, ooh.
That's rough.
Here we go. Time to go to work. Mm-hmm. So I remember throwing my gear on, responding to the call with my partner. And I remember we pulled up. We saw, I think it was Justin, out walking around. And I saw Alex. And my first initial thought was, oh, crap. And Brandon was like, what? I was like, Nick's here.
Yeah. Because mind like, you, I hang out. I mean, you know, it was just common for me to be with those
right.
two.
You didn't hardly ever see the other without, you know, one without
one
the
without
other.
The other. Yep.
So, you know, my thing was like, man, he's here. He's like, you think so? I was like, yeah, he's like, go find him.
You so, almost know so.
So I took off. I went and found you clearly. You know, thankfully, whoever the guy was that pulled you out.
Oh, I'm about to tell you about that, too.
We'll get to that in a second. But I just remember, you know, we flew you out, came to see you a day or two later in the hospital, whatever. You know, and after you got home from the wreck and the surgeries and what have you, whenever you were on that daggum walker, I remember one night we're all sitting around thinking me and James and you and probably Andy, if I had to think. I just remember
he would be the second one that if I wasn't with Alex is right. because I was with Andy.
Right. But I just remember sitting there. I was like, man, I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat. And James was like, yeah, man, come on, let's go. Andy was jumped up, getting ready to go. And Nick was like, oh, I'm just going to hang out here. I'm tired. I was like, dude, get up. Come on. We'll help you get there. We're going to go eat. I think we're going to go to the Waffle House. Nah, man, nah. I'm tired. I'm tired. And I remember the answer I gave you to that was, yeah, I remember the day I was tired. Mm. So I think it was about August 28th. Mind you, this is like early October.
August 27th, 2012.
Whatever. And like I said, mind you, this is like early October. So, you know, the wreck is not far removed from everybody's memory, by no means. And I just remember, like, yeah, dude, I remember the day I was tired. I was at the firehouse just about asleep, about to take me a good afternoon nap, and I got called out that a bunch of teenagers decided to hit a tree.
Stupids.
Out doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And I get there, and there's this guy laying there with a pretty significant shot to the head, broken femur, just completely screwed up my nap because I had to stay on scene until like 9, 10 o'clock that night when a trooper did his investigations. I said, I wonder how that day would have went if I wasn't so tired. And I just remember I guilt-tripped a guy into it with a broken leg to get into a truck and go to Waffle House because he was tired.
Well, I know, and it worked, too, which would probably end up kind of – I mean, this will end up kind of probably being the story we'll end out with, too, because I'll give you my side on that, too. I was overwhelmed when I noticed or when you showed up, but I'll lead up to why I was so overwhelmed. For one, you know, it started – me and Morgan were not together at the time. I just wanted to be in the car with her because she was – I thought she was hot.
Right.
What we call these – I was like, man, she's hot. And I was overweight. I was like, ain't no chance. But, you know, if I can ride in that car, I'm riding in that car.
Right.
And Justin, I think, was the one that was going to, you know, he was trying to hook up with her or whatever anyways. But, you know, and I will never speak of her like that. But,
right.
I think he was trying to date her and whatnot at the time anyways. And I'm so thankful he didn't get the shot because, you know, I stuck around. At that time, I always had a feeling anyways. I was like, man, I'm gonna get with her. I'm going to stay with her.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't get with her, like sleep with her kind of thing. It was like, man, I'm gonna date her, and I'm gonna be with her forever. Which obviously that was one thing, fleshly part of me that I wanted too. But man, I got in that car and we went jumping hills. I mean, we knew what we were doing. you know, we knew what we were doing.
Which I also got to partly blame me and James for telling you only up, going like, up jumping them hills.
Only at that point did we know what we were doing. You know what I mean? Like, right. Up until that point, you know, we were like,
it's all fun and games. We're having fun until something serious happens.
And, man, we hit that last hill. And this is the part of the story that I like to start at when I tell people is when that car went airborne, I remember everything in the car floating.
Yeah.
Everything went airborne, but everything...
That's what stopped us from ever going back. We did it one time, felt the car float in midair, and when it landed, it kind of snapped around a little bit and scared the crap out of us, and we quit doing it.
Yeah. We went airborne, and everything in the... I remember seeing a Jax cup floating in front of me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't touching it, you know, and right. While everything was going so fast, it slowed down. When we hit the ground, you know, the car went sideways, and then I remember looking and seeing the tree. Right before we hit that tree, I put my head down.
Yep.
Two things. For one, I remember, I don't remember how I learned it. Maybe my dad taught me or something. But as if you fall, you don't fight it.
Right.
You know, you kind of break fall.
Let it go.
So I knew, I was like, well, it doesn't matter what I do to brace this impact, I ain't going to win it. So I just put my head down. But the second thing I started doing was I started praying to God. I was like, God, look after us, look after this, you know. And before I knew it, man, I was waking up.
Right.
You know, one of the last things I remember before I went unconscious when we hit the tree was dirt and stuff hitting the window.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, oh, man.
There was a lot of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I just put my head down. I remember coming to him. There was just blood running off my face into my lap. And, you know, at that point, because I couldn't see out of my left eye either, I just didn't want to move because I didn't know how bad I was broken or nothing, right. Man. I was just like, man, my eyeball's hanging out or something. You know, I had no idea. I didn't touch my face. Even all the way up until when you were there, I still couldn't tell because I hadn't felt around or seen it yet. I just knew I couldn't see out of my eye because it was just blood red.
Well,
you know?
Your eyebrow was hanging
busted open. Oh, yeah, man. It was wild. And what ended up busting my eye open was the coat hanger in the cars up on the roof.
The little nod.
The little nod that sticks out. Yep. That's why they make those, mind you, now. That's why those are retractable mostly.
Yeah.
Well, those are flat now unless you need them because of stuff like that. I guess they didn't think about it. But anyway, I remember
one of those
things
you don't think about it until something happens. You're like, hey, we should probably fix that.
I remember coming to and that smoke coming through the firewall
was
the first thing that started freaking me out.
That's the first thing that screwed me up whenever I realized that you were probably on scene and I pull up and the car's down in the valley cooking.
Yeah, I mean, it was
head to toe on fire at that point in time. I'm going, where's Nick?
Yeah, and thankfully at that time, too, he had got me away from the car, too, but... And we'll talk about who got me out, man, and who I believe was
right.
For one, it was Alex that got me to out to start with. But then I wholeheartedly believe that Jesus showed his face in a stranger that day too, because when I came to, man, and like we only laugh about it now, but I saw that smoke coming through the firewall and I was like, I tried to get out, and I was like, I can't move. But my seatbelt was still on.
Right.
And what's funny, that's also something my dad has always told me to put on.
Right.
And that's one of the first things I noticed, too, was I was like, oh, man, good thing my seatbelt was on.
Yeah.
So I took my seatbelt off, tried to move again. I still couldn't move. I was like, oh, I'm a potato. I'm Randall. You know what I mean? It was the first thing I thought of, which is my uncle, my late uncle, God rest his soul. But, I was like, oh, my goodness. This is what I get for making fun of him and stuff my whole life. And I think that's also something that God tried to show me, too, was like, you better
tighten up,
yeah, or I'll do that to you, too, because I think God almost killed me that day to prove me he was real.
Right.
And also helped me change my ways and who I was. But it just took years after that.
Right.
But I'm thankful it took that. But I finally, when I came to, everything was on fire and whatnot, which is also, I feel like him showing me, this is a taste of hell, buddy. And this is, you're only getting the smoke.
Right.
And not even a part of what the smoke would be like. This is just a little bit, a dusting of it. And, when I came back too, and I just remember freaking out, and Alex was flipping, trying to get the seat up, and I had mangled the seat up, how bad I had gotten pushed into it, just mangled and twisted it up. But he finally got it up, and I was like, I can't move, my leg's broken. He's like, no, it's not. And I remember when that seat came open, like I was not laughing about it at the time, but his reaction when that seat flipped forward, he was like, yeah, it is, because my knee was probably a foot shorter than my other knee.
Aware.
Yeah, oh, I know, yeah, he's seen it firsthand. But it was nuts, man. I was like, I laugh about it now, but I could only imagine, that probably really messed with Alex's head, although he's been through some rough stuff too, but that was probably rough for him to see. And he tried to get me out of the car and finally did get me out, but his shoulder was dislocated and he didn't really know it at the time.
Yeah.
So he kept pulling, but he was like, I don't know, man, my arm, like he didn't even notice it was broke.
Right.
He just kept pulling.
Adrenaline dump for real, dude. Let me tell you.
And then all of a sudden this guy in a white pickup truck or, work van, work truck, something other. but gets out and comes trotting through the grass, kind of in a hurry, but, you know, also kind of like, it's okay.
Taking his time.
You know, I'm here. Not really taking
it. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
It's yeah, yeah, just, you know, in a not, calm manner. He was.
I'm not saying he was on his time. I was like, all right, I'll get there.
He was
there,
on his way in a.
But using his mind. Doing
he was on his way in a collective manner.
It,
yeah.
Doing things safely, but doing it with a purpose.
With a collective manner.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, I mean, he knew what he, you know, he knew why he was there. He had a purpose.
Right.
And this guy, he's shirtless. He's got blue jeans on, barefoot. He's got long brown hair. He's got some, I can't remember if tattoos or not, but definitely scars and whatnot.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, he wasn't ugly, but he wasn't, you know, the dude has worked.
Yeah.
You know, he's a distinguished guy, it seemed like. And also was, you know, our perspective of what we think Jesus looks like.
Right.
And he looked me in the face, man, when he got me, you know, he was pulling me away from the car and was telling me, he said, it's okay, it's okay. And he got up there and he was holding my hand and prayed with me.
Yep.
And, I can't explain how he held my hand either. It was like he was holding a child's hand.
Yeah.
Tight enough to let you know he's got you, not tight enough to hurt you.
Just a comforting grip.
And knowing that you're not gone, you're not going to go away.
Right.
And I felt, and he prayed over me, and I've never felt, in that moment, there's no way that I didn't feel pain, but I didn't. I didn't feel anything at all. I felt fine. I was okay.
You felt comfort in a time of stress.
Yeah,
it's and a very real thing.
As soon as he walked away. That was the last time any of us saw that man. And we kind of heard through who he was.
I will tell you this,
but we've never seen him. But real. But this is where it ties to you, though. Is the
well,
very
I will tell
the
you,
very
when
next
I
person?
I don't see it. I never saw him.
No, that's what. See, and isn't that? See, that's the thing. He disappeared. And the very next person I saw was you running through the grass
in a
whole different manner than that man was.
Well, yeah, it was time to go to work.
Because you were, but you had purpose too. But right then and there, the comfort.
What's always killed me is the way you've always told that, I levitated across the barbed wire.
Yeah, you didn't cross it, you went through it. And but in that moment where everything was the most chaotic it had ever been in my life, after Jesus showed his what I believe was his face in my life at that moment, in a stranger's face. Or who could have been him? I can't, you know, can't explain
You'll
it that
know
well.
Until the
never
day
know, and I don't care to know because I believe.
Right.
I don't have to wonder because I know.
I get that.
And but he kind of, you know, disappeared and just went about his business. And then the very next person I saw was you trotting, or blowing through the grass, not trotting, blowing through the grass. And then, but everything was okay from that point on, because all the way up until the ambulance got there, where they hit me with the worldly stuff to help me feel better, the morphine and whatnot, a lot of it, I was comforted. And then directly after your presence was my mom and my grandmother, who also, you know, it just comforted me to know they were there. And but that's kind of my, you know, and that's a testimony 100% of mine, and I use it all the time, because it's I wholeheartedly believe that he you know, people like to say God won't put more on you than you can handle, and I laugh when I hear that, because I'm like, man, he'll almost kill you if he has to get you to see.
But if you're still here,
it
wasn't more than you could handle.
No, right, it's not. But what I'm getting at, though, is I think people take that, people when they hear that he won't give you more than you can handle, then they take that in a prideful thing, and then they'll just be like, oh yeah, I got this, and then almost immediately we'll forget about God.
Oh, yeah.
But the way I see it is like, nah, man, there ain't no way physically that I could have handled myself through that situation. I handled that because, or I did not handle that. God handled that situation.
Somebody had to.
And 100%. And that's why I say, you know, it's like, it ain't even like, he didn't put, he'll kill you if he has to, and bring you back to show you. And if you don't start taking those signs, then you either get to live in this life for the time being that you have it and then die in hell, or you get to turn your life around and live for eternity and just kind of put forth and live through a little bit of pain here to get a great outcome.
Oh, I agree.
You know, and I 100% believe that that was the day that God showed his presence in my life through Jesus in a stranger's face, who, like I said, you know, once again, who I saw directly after that was you, to give me peace of mind about myself through a situation where anybody else would have just been, and even me, I mean, man, I was out of it. I couldn't handle that.
Right.
I couldn't handle that twice. No way. That'd kill me. If it took God doing that, something like that again, then that would be my last kind of like opportunity to turn it around.
Agree.
But I believe I've turned it around and give it to him now. And I do believe that as long as I keep my faith and I believe strongly in his name and I stand on that, you know, I won't make any choices of my own to put myself in situations to where I may go through something like that. Right. If it's something that God put in my way, it's coming by God's way, not by my way.
I will tell you, out of the whole situation, one of the funniest things I found was a couple weeks after you got out of, you know, it was all said and done, you were home rehabbing from it. I remember I came by the house one day, and I was sitting there on the couch talking to you, and your mom was in there, and the first question you asked was, why'd you cut my boot off?
Oh, yeah, because those were, man, okay, for one, I didn't have a whole lot of nice stuff, and those were the nicest pair of boots I ever had, and they got cut off of me. But I mean,
y'all
thankfully,
got them restitched, guess, but still.
Who restitched them?
I don't know.
Mama.
Somebody did.
Nyan. She restitched them.
I just know this dude's laying here with a broke leg.
That's all I cared about.
One of the worst car accidents I'd seen in a long time, and one of the, probably, yeah, I wouldn't say the worst, but one of the worst car accidents I dealt with in my firefighting career. And this dude's talking about, why'd you cut my boot off?
You see how fleshly we are? All I was worried about
and
at that
time
was
And I just remember,
boot.
Dude, we had to get to you so we could get your leg situated. Mm-hmm. We had to cut your boot. You could have took it off, and you would have screamed in agony.
You see how fleshly we are?
Oh, I agree.
You know, I mean, you know, so material, or at least at that time. Like, right now, right. Obviously, I'd be like, man, you can take both of them. I don't care. You can have them if you want them. I don't care. You know, thank you for helping me. But that's just how fleshly we are.
I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, after all that, you know, that opened your eyes and stuff. But the more, you know, I just sit back and think about all the stupid things we did back as we were kids and so many injuries. I think we could end with this one because this is going to be number 7.
Oh, man. All right.
Whenever you got the road rash.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No.
Y'all were already pulling people around. I just wanted to ride, too.
Yeah, but let's talk about how I believe this is soul factor of Nick Adams not listening. I'm pulling people, have my Schwinn Stingray look like a fat tire chopper.
The coolest bike on the market at the time.
And I tied them off to the horn around my saddle or seat that was built like a saddle on that bike. Pulling these kids down the road on the neighbor's radio flyer wagon. Everybody else had done made, I don't know, 3-4 different turns.
I'm 220 pounds.
No issues whatsoever. Pull them down. We have it flipped.
I
take Nick down at one time, and he's like, oh, that was fun. Let's do it again. I was like, Nick, you almost fell that time. You don't need to do this.
Yeah, I got murked.
And he was like, no, let's go again. Let's go again. All right. I think it's a bad idea. But all right. So I'll roll back up the top of the hill. He gets in it. I'll start pulling him. And I felt my bike start dancing around like there was a strong wind. And mind you, there was no wind that day.
Well, there was a little bit. There
and
was
I look back over my shoulder, and the last thing I see is the wheels go up, shiny side goes down, and Nick's skidding down the road.
I needed a skin graft and didn't get one.
Ate the hide off his legs, because, mind you, I think you were in gym shorts that day. So
yeah.
You know,
just hydrogen peroxide, we kept them in business for at least a week.
Repainted the road with your skin. Flesh.
Dude, you know, that's terrible, too, because, like, to give everybody a visual listening, I literally looked back and could see the wet mark on the ground where it took my skin and the just, that should give you the visual.
I've seen another one similar to that, too. Somebody that bailed off a motorcycle, who we both know, and 100% his fault, but still.
Different story.
Well, I mean, he dumped his bike because he's afraid of rear into somebody. He's like, you know, you have brakes, right?
Oh, that's smart, too.
But instead, he dumps his bike, throws his hand down, slides his hand down 231, and I could see the liquefied fat when I pulled up.
Yeah, isn't it rough, man? That's
but,
bad.
Yeah.
Road rash is something.
There again, like I said, that's I may six. Have been present for this one, but I tried to talk you out of it wholeheartedly, and you were like, no, I got to do this.
The second time.
I got to do this.
Five and a half.
It was fun.
That's five and a half.
I'm going with 7.
I'm giving you 5. What? That's two more
I
than
gave
5.
You 6 a minute ago. This is number 7.
Which one was 6? I don't remember. See, that's why I got to get a notepad for these things.
I don't know. We'll have to recount it. But I'm going to get. You go back and listen to this episode, and I've got all 7 documented right there, okay?
Well, we're ending out with the point is like, man, we've been through a couple of things that helped craft us into why we think we would be. You know, useful in the podcast nation to spread God's name and what it's like being a dad in this era, especially if you grew up around the kind of things we did in the same time era and whatnot. I just think it'd be pretty good for us to get together on this. And that's
agree.
Why, you know, it's going to be great to have you as a mainstay. Once again, my name's Nick Adams, the producer. Across from me is my cousin turned brother, Hunter, who's you can call the co-host of this one. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode. God bless.
Y'all have a good evening.